Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. To gather or not to gather? That's a question that churchgoers in California have been asking for many months. Well, the Supreme Court recently weighed in on this subject, and here to talk about the results is Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, what's the latest?
Yeah, let's hit the ground running on this. It's been an issue for nearly a year.
Yes.
And as readers of Liberty Magazine know, I reported on actually attending one of these mega churches in California, the Grace Community Church, headed by Reverend MacArthur, that was meeting, and I met with them and was simultaneously encouraged that Christians were persisting and yet dismayed that they were not wearing masks or keeping social distance. But they were certainly in a it seemed like, a battle to the death with Governor Newsom of California, who had used all the big guns of government to restrict them. Fines every day of several thousand dollars. They'd taken away the rights for their parking lot and all sorts of threats of doom and gloom, and they persisted. And I mentioned that. We'd run an article in Liberty affirming on a principle of religious liberty the right, and more than the right, perhaps even the obligation for people of faith to, as the Bible says, to forsake not the assembling of themselves together if that was prohibited, because this is something we have to do. And of course, in the real world, you balance your actions against consequences, both personal and to the community. As you introduced this program, it's quite a positive confirmation that finally the Supreme Court has ruled against California in this standoff, saying that this is prejudicial to restrict the churches while Hollywood, for example, is a money-making thing, has been allowed to function. And you can understand why they would allow Hollywood to function, but why restrict the churches? So this is a very confirming action, and it is easy, and I've read a number of articles on it, it's easy to see this on the simplistic level as the shift brought about by Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death and replacement by Amy Coney Barrett. And once before, they had upheld the government by a narrow margin. Now, by a similar narrow margin because of the shift on the court, they upheld the rights of the church to meet. So it's a victory. But of anything that I've seen of recent years on the Supreme Court, it unfortunately seems to confirm the court-stacking efforts that people are indulging in. And I have an antipathy to that. If it ever comes to be that simple that factions can stack the courts and thereby shift justice one way or another, we're in deep, deep trouble. I would like to think that the court ultimately was convinced on the moral rightness of this action, not just as a political construct. Mm-hmm. And there's some very good statements that came out of the court, although equally some ambiguity in their murmurings, because a couple of the liberal justices said, you know, since when did the court become epidemiologists?
Yes.
When can they judge it's safe health-wise or what we should do? And I think in a way that argument is pertinent and yet not legally the root issue to look at, because we shouldn't determine our freedoms by public health. We should determine our freedoms by principles, and then they can be moderated or executed in the dynamic of real life. And this is why in most of our religious liberty legislation, as in fact most legislation, it says you've got this right and so on, but then it speaks about compelling governmental interest. And it may be, in some cases, a compelling public health interest to encourage, and I would like to think not force, people of faith to give up their faith practice for their own and the safety of other people.
You bring up an interesting point there, because in my mind, when I first heard about this, I thought the state was just trying to protect the people, not necessarily those who are there, although that would protect those who are there if they're not coming together and spreading this stuff around, but the people in the community, the people in the neighborhood, the coworkers, the people they come in contact with at the grocery store or down the road there. And so I thought, well, yeah, they need to close the churches out there. In listening to you, I learned how important it is that we have the churches open for the church members and whatnot. If, and here's where you really shine on this thing, Lincoln Steed, if those churches have enough sense in their heads and enough compassion in their hearts to meet safely, to meet in ways that the spread will not happen, that the protection is still there, yet also the worship is there. Am I right in saying that?
Absolutely, of course. And so it's not a total either-or.
Yes.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's exactly what the three worthies said to Nebuchadnezzar, you know, whether we must do what you say or what God says, you know, it's no question. Mm-hmm. We obey God.
Yes.
We will not do what you say or worship your gods. But in the real world, of course, we're not called upon to lash out and even execute judgment upon. Think about the Israelites leaving Egypt.
Yes, yes.
You know, they didn't bring down the plagues upon those that failed to put the blood on the lintel.
Yeah. Yeah.
God did it. Their business was to be faithful to God. And the California thing does have a backstory. There's been an ongoing dispute between Governor Newsom and the liberal faction. Mm-hmm. And nothing wrong with liberalism, but right. In this case, the liberal political and societally liberal group have been pushing the gay rights agenda. And they really were fighting, on one level, a moral, but as much a political battle between some of these church leaders over gay rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not always sure that the churches carried this forward in the best manner. Sometimes it's sort of like, I have religious rights, therefore I'm going to deny yours. Mm-hmm. It really shouldn't be expressed that way. But the governor did not really like the overall church stance. And when the pandemic kicked in, the very least, there was a sort of a blindness toward the churches on their natural rights, and perhaps even a little bit of glee that they can restrict these troublesome churches. And I am positive that's the backstory of what was going on. But the issue that the Supreme Court looked at is the same everywhere, and of course in New York they faced the same issue. And the courts there had to pretty much slap the state on its knuckles and say, allow the churches to meet. You can't have sports events, you can't have demonstrations and so on, allow that, and not allow the churches to meet.
Yeah.
And the issue that I brought up in Liberty from day one, even when others in the religious liberty area didn't agree with me, was that churches should have and should be, in any culturally Christian or religious community, churches should have been seen as essential services.
Mm-hmm.
That's as simple as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Pawn shops, for example, where the people needed to convert their goods into money to survive without employment. Supermarkets, where people need to go to get food. Hospitals and places of worship should have been included in these essential services. That's all it required. So it's not even a matter of law. It's a matter of priority. And in a society where we have a First Amendment guarantee of religious freedom, surely in this crisis, religion should have been an automatic essential service.
Okay, Lincoln, I agree with you, and that's the way it should be, but you have actually told us in this program and programs before when you went to Grace, it doesn't work, Lincoln. The people weren't wearing masks. They weren't social distancing. They were given the opportunity to demonstrate Christian love and compassion, and they didn't do it. What's missing? What has fallen down here?
I've got to be careful, but I think a little intelligence was missing.
And, okay, all right.
People should be informed, and of course it intersects with a whole political phenomenon, which in Liberty magazine I've linked with a historical phenomenon in the mid-1800s. There was a political party called the Know-Nothing Party.
The Know-Nothing Party.
And we have seen the Know-Nothings of our era.
A resurgence.
And President Trump encapsulated it.
Oh, my.
Fake news.
Yeah.
Well, people that aren't well-read, aren't taking the effort to compare truth to error, to discern between different reports, are easily misled into this case, thinking the masks don't matter. It's all a sort of a construct. Well, it's foolish. I mean, anybody that reads newspapers, that goes online, that listens to the BBC, or you know, casts a wide net, will know that it's not a close call. We are in an international pandemic. Whether it was caused by nefarious actions, we'll never know. Whether the government, this one, could have done better, and the facts are that some governments are doing better, but all countries around the world are unsettled by this.
Mm-hmm.
It's disturbed the international order. So to sort of maintain, well, I'm not going to wear a mask because I don't believe any of it, it's just nonsensical.
Yeah.
It's irresponsible. So you can't let those sort of people off the hook totally. And I would, and this is my view on religious liberty generally, you know, I would argue always that churches should have been essential service. You should not, could not restrict people from worshiping that have a conscience commitment, but there's always consequence. And the consequence might be as simple as you're a little more vulnerable to catching the disease. The consequence, if you choose to disobey a reasonable requirement of society, just like you drive on a road, they're not going to let you drive 120.
Right,
you get wrapped
right.
on the knuckles, you drive.
Right, right.
And so in a pandemic, if you dangerously persist, even in your allowed religious worship, in coughing in someone's face, that might have a fine or some penalty to your free behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a restriction of religion. That's a restriction on belligerent, rebellious behavior.
I hear you saying here, if we are going to insist on our right to assemble, to gather, if we're going to insist on that, we need to take precautions, and we need to take precautions because we have educated ourselves about what works and what doesn't. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And this Supreme Court action, I didn't mention, but it's very pertinent to all of this. It's upheld the right of the churches to meet. They essentially are essential services,
mm-hmm.
but they cannot go more than 25% capacity in the church building. Well, if it's a big church, have several services.
Yes, yes.
And they're not to sing hymns in a public way, which anybody knows, especially in a darkened church interior. I've seen it in the filtered dust, often in the gloom.
Oh,
you can see the air spurting out from someone's
yes,
mouth.
Yes.
I mean, that's not science. That's just practical knowledge.
Yeah.
So it's good to inhibit the public hymn singing, but it doesn't mean you can't have an organ or some music. You could go outside and at a good distance sing in the parking lot.
Mm.
You know, that's not a restriction on religion. That's a practical consideration. So, yes, the court put criteria on it, and the church that I attend, they're meeting regularly, and every other row is empty, and the rows you're on, you're to be 6 foot apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty benign. You might still catch something, but you can anywhere. I mean,
that's true.
In life in general, it's absolutely impossible to remove all risk. And the thing that bothers me on all of this, in an effort to remove all risk, there's a clear tendency to remove all freedoms.
Yeah, that's true. Spoiler alert, listener, I want you to know that God lives in your heart. If you close your eyes and you pray, you're in church. LibertyMagazine.org is the website, and Lincoln Steves is its editor. Lincoln, thank you so much for sharing today. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Lincoln Steves, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call 443-391-7258. Or email us through our website at libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.